All right, welcome back here Wednesday of Radio Row live in Minneapolis here. Thanks to our friends at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales. Sitting down with us now, a guy we got to know when we were at ESPN headquarters in November. It's SportsCenter anchor and host on ESPN Radio. It's our buddy Doug Kazarian. Doug, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure, man. It's always fun being here in Radio Row. A lot of excitement, obviously, and it's just mayhem, isn't it? It's the calm before the storm, shifting to the storm. We're midweek here.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is absolutely packed today. We got a couple of housekeeping things first, though. You know, when we were up in November, I had it written down to ask you, but forgot to.
Uh-oh.
You were a college water polo player?
I was. I played at Brown, and I'm from L.A., and so water polo is a huge sport in SoCal. So I played that growing up. So I played it at high school. It was like lacrosse on the East Coast, right? It's a like Colt regional-based thing. So I played water polo in high school, and then went to Brown. I actually played a year at Exeter as well. I went to Phillips Exeter. So
my sixth cousin was a gold medalist at UCLA. Went to UCLA. Was a U.S. Olympian water polo gold medalist. That's just, what a physically demanding sport that is.
It was crazy. And actually, it's funny you mentioned the Olympic team, because when I was in high school, my high school coach was also the U.S. Olympic coach. So he would literally leave our practice and drive to the Olympic team practice. And sometimes he forgot which practice he was at and yelled at us for certain things that probably a 17-year-old shouldn't know in the game of water polo.
Are you in your playing shape right now? Could you go out to your local Y?
Well, no, absolutely not. And that's what's most depressing, because let's say you're a former college basketball player and you want to go shoot hoops. You can do that and obviously have lower expectations, but you still kind of do it. On water polo, you just sink. You have to be conditioned to even be something as simple as just, you know, shooting the ball.
Another housekeeping item. My little brother was running the board for us when we went to headquarters. His name is Troy. He's probably pulled a bunch of audio for you for weekend shows, but if you do see him, feel free to give him a hard time.
I will definitely do that, and I'm a little disappointed, Brady, that you're so sloppy, but the last time you were not going down your checklist. What's up with that, man?
I know. I was disappointed in myself, too. Hey, big sports news late last night. Like, this is supposed to be reserved for Super Bowl talk only, but Alex Smith traded from the Chiefs to the Redskins, and he gets a four-year deal, $71 million guaranteed?
Well, we knew this was going to happen, right? Everyone talked about this is going to be an offseason for quarterbacks unlike we've ever seen, because it's never what we saw. Peyton Manning switch teams a couple years ago, and we saw, like, Drew Brees go to the Saints. That was, like, the most movement we've seen in terms of big-name quarterbacks. Not that Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins are going to be like Hall of Famers, but it is kind of incredible to see these kind of names, and we're going to see more. And then you have all these QBs at the top of the draft, so there's going to be a lot of movement for, you know, starting quarterbacks. But I think it's an upgrade for Washington. I wasn't a huge Kirk Cousins guy, but I don't think Alex Smith is going to set the world on fire unless he plays like he did week one in Foxborough, the season opener. I think I call him Captain Checkdown. If he just takes off the training wheels and lets it rip, he can be a good quarterback. He just doesn't do it.
Doug Kazarian of ESPN with a SportsCenter anchor and ESPN radio host here with us on Radio Row. I'm going to tell you mine, but I got to ask you first. What is, like, I don't want to call it a hot take, but what is, like, the fundamental sports take that you have that people disagree with you on, but you will not change your mind?
So there's a couple. The hill I'm going to die on, right?
Yeah.
I think Belichick and the Patriots win just as many Super Bowls with, like, five other quarterbacks.
Wow.
So I'm just a Belichick guy, and I think Brady is probably the greatest ever, but his resume certainly is. Now, if Drew Brees played for the Patriots all these years, don't you think he'd win just as many?
Well,
all the problem with the Brees teams were defense.
Yeah.
And I think Belichick's that great. I mean, look what he did with Matt Castle. He won 11 games. The guy didn't even play in college. Look what he's done with Jacoby Brissett. Look what he's done with Garoppolo. Like, now those guys are good now in other teams, but splitting hairs, I just think he would have found a way to do it, because Brady won with, like, at least one when he wasn't that great, is right, early on in his career. Like, if you gave him Peyton Manning, now I'm saying you give him other Hall of Famers. I'm not saying give him Joe Schmo or you or I.
Yeah.
That's one hill I'm willing to die on, that I think it's more Belichick than Brady, and trust me, I talk to guys who play the game as well. I'm not crazy. And I also think the Lakers will not win another championship in my lifetime.
Really? So LeVar Ball's not going to come and coach him and lead him? You know, undefeated, never lost.
Yeah, as much as he wants to talk it into existence, right? No, I just think so much has to go right for you to win a title. And all the things that went right for the Lakers over the years is no longer there. Their competitive advantage that everyone wants to live in L.A. and play there. Well, you don't have to live in the city you play in anymore, because the salaries have gotten so high, you can live elsewhere. The front office, Dr. Jerry Buss, was such a smooth operator, so to speak, but they don't have him anymore. And I think that the Clippers are now more of a force in L.A., although we'll see what happens now after the Blake Griffin trade. And I just think you need a lot of luck, and you're no longer swindling teams and getting James Worthy for like a journeyman and get that number one pick. It just doesn't work like that anywhere. All the other front offices are really smart, and all the luck. I mean, look what LeBron did with the Cavs, built a championship team, and he got bad luck in that the Warriors are overlapping on the NBA timeline. So I just don't think it's going to happen for the Lakers because I'll take the field.
The sword that I'm willing to fall on is that Dwight Howard and Blake Griffin are 1-2 in the most overrated players of my lifetime.
Your lifetime?
Yeah, well, I'm 28, so I mean, I'm still relatively young, but I will say Dwight Howard and Blake Griffin are the two most overrated players of my life.
I am very, like, almost disgusted that Dwight Howard, in all his years, was he drafted number one overall in 04?
Yeah.
Did not add an offensive post game for a guy so
yes.
athletic and such a specimen. But let's not forget, he won the NBA Defensive Player of the Year multiple times. He was an Olympian. He didn't reach his ceiling, per se, but he was not like this bust that maybe like Darko was. Like, he was pretty awesome for so long. He just didn't have the work ethic and the mentality to be a great, great player. But he's still, what is it, like double-digit All-Star, 10 All-Star, something like that. Now, I think Blake Griffin needed to get out of the Western Conference. He's not a rim protector. The game changed, but he's still the average, put up the numbers. I mean, he's a perennial All-Star, slam dunk champ. I mean, I guess overrated. What do you think? Is he not? Is he the best player on a championship team? No. Could he be the second best player on a championship team? I think so.
I look at it and say kind of what you said about Dwight Howard. For Blake Griffin, to me, he's a dunker. He's a dunker that doesn't play the defense of Dwight Howard. He doesn't have a low post game, and he thinks he's a perimeter player now. Like, that bothers me.
Well, the NBA has gone that way with the four position, too, but I guess it comes down to the stupidness in the NBA that is stupidity, is that the max player deal, because you're looking at him as he's a max guy making 30-something million. Well, yeah, but so is like guys like Eric Bledsoe. Like, is he LeBron? Of course not, but no one's LeBron. LeBron is the generational player. He may be the best player of all time. I actually think he is. So if you hold him, it's like why everyone, you know, beats up on Carmelo. How much would you look at Carmelo differently if he didn't play in New York or he wasn't in the same draft as LeBron?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You've got in front of us something that's right up everyone else at our station's alley. Mine, too. You've got the prop bets for the Super Bowl. You've got all the bets for the Super Bowl. You've got like 100 pages here.
Right. This is the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. They put out a packet every year for the Super Bowl, and it is a prop, all the proposition bets around in the neighborhood of 400. As you know, I lived in Vegas for 7 years before ESPN. I've covered the industry, and I do it now at ESPN. And so I thought, given that it's such a large part of the fabric of the Super Bowl, that they do it a lot, that I thought I need to come bring in gifts.
My favorite prop bet, now you didn't get to meet our co-host Arnie, who's back in the studio right now. 54 years old, a little bit bigger in the middle, but we always play basketball together. So my favorite prop bet, which I've actually invented, is Tom Brady rush yards or Arnie points the next time we play hoop. So that would be my go-to prop bet, and I would set it at like 2.
So yeah, I was about to say, and then you got to whether or not they take a knee either at the end of the first half of the game. That's tough. I got to scout Arnie's game before I'm willing to formulate a line on that one.
So what's your favorite prop bet right here? I like the halftime show prop bet. Justin Timberlake is probably coming out with somebody. Is it Britney Spears? Is it Janet Jackson? Is it other, or is it a member of NSYNC?
I would guess other. You always got to take the field in these kind of situations because you never see it coming. They keep things tight-lipped.
All right, so what are your go-to prop bets?
Well, I mean, look, it's always fun to bet on anything. And you know, Vegas is going to get a lot of backing on the yes on the overtime or yes on a safety because everyone likes to see things happen, especially with a large payout. No one likes to go to Vegas and lay 900 to win 100. That's never fun, right? And we saw that with Mayweather and McGregor. So one of my favorites is just, whether the receiving yards. I think the most ridiculous one is Burton's receiving yards compared to the margin of victory of Tulane playing that day. It's just like the most insane prop bet that I saw.
We heard ones like the Celtics are playing the Clippers on Super Bowl Sunday, so we were looking at them, and it was like Danny Amendola receiving yards or Kyrie Irving and Chris Paul total points or something.
Well, look, these are all going to be in the neighborhood, right? They're all going to be about the same. I think. And you got to know your stuff. That's why I laughed at the Tulane Temple margin of victory to Trey Burton. But I think the ones that I'm getting a kick out of is there's still prop bets from last year that haven't been graded. So Vegas obviously got an expansion NHL team. And so they started to put stuff on the board. and they did one of the Patriots, Devontae Freeman's rushing yards last year compared to, and had a spread in there, the gap to the amount of points the NHL's Golden Knights had. Now, the season didn't even start till October. You have a Super Bowl prop last January projecting how many expansion team points you're going to have. So I think that the, because Devontae Freeman went off, so I think the Golden Knights need like 98 points this year for that side to win.
How would you feel about being in Vegas right now with the Golden Knights' success? Not only are they there, they're really good.
So I wrote a story for ESPN Chalk, and for all of our listeners out there, go check it out, because it's a very fun piece that I enjoy doing. I posted it last week, but basically, they are captivating the town. So if you're a sports book, you don't have a lot of betting handle on NHL games. It's like, I'd rather just bet NBA. There's just not that much interest in betting. But all these fans are going to the game, and they're betting on the Golden Knights. So they're literally, like, huge, huge liability on these games. Like, they're experiencing 10 to 15 times the amount of money on Golden Knights home games than they do on any other NHL game. On top of that, the Golden Knights are like 19-3-2. So they're crushing. So these books have lost collectively over $1 million. And it's more so if it's parlayed to other stuff. So they're getting buried on it, and they've given out tickets between 300 and 500 to 1. So the Golden Knights are the number one in the Western Conference right now, legit Stanley Cup threat. These books are going to take a bath if they go on and win the Cup. And another reason is they have such a competitive advantage, they're doing so well at home, is their competitive advantage, what's called the Vegas flu, called the Vegas flu. So teams come into town, have like 3 days in Vegas, they rage, and then they lose to the Golden Knights. So it's like they're trapping their visitors.
Doug Kazarian of ESPN with us here on Radio Row. Thanks to friends at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales here. Remember, 3 miles east of Richmond on Route 2 in Jonesville. What's your prediction on the game as a whole?
I like the Patriots. I think they win by about 10 or more. I just think there's been too many people are enamored with, like, Nick Foles. Let's not forget, Nick Foles played 2 games in the postseason, and both at home, and he didn't look good in one of them. So you have, like, the Oakland Monday night stinker. He didn't play that well against the Cowboys. That'll be a limited action. And then played mediocre. The offense scored 1 touchdown against Atlanta. And then you had this great game against the Vikings. Outside of that, right?
Like, yeah.
And then you have Brady. I think Belichick with 2 weeks to prepare, a team that's seasoned versus a guy who hasn't played on the road this postseason yet. The big stage that is the Super Bowl, give me the Patriots.
All right, 2 more quick questions, but fun questions and important questions. You're doing a lot of college basketball stuff on the weekends for ESPN and ESPN Radio. How much are you talking about the University of Vermont as your mid-major sleeper?
The Catamounts?
Yes. Unbeaten in conference.
Not much on radio. That's I know it's shocking for you to accept that it's not a lightning rod topic for a national radio show.
Disappointed to hear that.
Yeah, I know. But as they make that run to the tournament yet again, I'm sure they'll gain steam for us. And maybe after football season. How about that?
More of a question here that I think would be an easier answer for you. If you're coming to Burlington for a weekend, which ESPN personality are you bringing to party with?
Well, it's got to be Russillo, because he knows that the ins and outs, right? and I'll let him lead the charge, but now that he's moving to the West Coast, I think Max Bretas. I think he's my buddy, A, and B, he's just such a character, and he's a chameleon. He can have fun wherever he goes, and everyone likes him. And then, he knows how to tear it up a little bit.
I say this affectionately for Russillo. He knows the lay of the land. That's probably going to end your night in a ditch. And two, if he's going to the West Coast, he's got to have one more. Like, you'd be waking up struggling if you were with Russillo.
One blowout weekend? No. I think you got to get a guy who just knows, who can appreciate. I've only spent a couple of days in Vermont in terms of the tourism. But I would say Max would be my guy.
Doug Kazarian of ESPN. Doug, we appreciate it, man.
Always good to be on.